Okay. Welcome, everyone. I'm so happy that you're here. I'm so happy to be here. My name's Ella Greenberg. I'm very, very privileged to work for REACH as a special education consultant. And before working for REACH, I worked as a special education teacher and a special education administrator in the school districts in California. And in that time, I had the opportunity to use station rotation learning, both in my special education classes and co-teaching with other teachers. In addition, I also have the privilege here in Chicago to work with our Jewish day schools in working on station rotations in our classrooms and trying to bring that to our community schools. So I am very excited, very passionate about station rotations, and I hope that I'm able to give that over to you today. I'm going to move this over here. Okay. So we're going to do a quick poll of why we're here today. That'll help me understand a little bit about your background and experience and also what you're looking to get out of today. Okay. So I'm here. Raise your hand for any and all. Okay. So I'm here to acquire, you know what I asked for? Hold on one second. Let me just make sure it's not going to switch transitions without me wanting it to. One second. New skills. How many of you are here to acquire new skills and want to learn something new to enhance your teaching? Great. Okay. And Sam, you were intrigued by the sound of station rotation. You don't know much about it, but it sounded intriguing. Okay, great. And it's required. I have to be here today, so I picked the most least painful topic.
Yeah, it's okay.
And I want to improve my students' engagement. Okay, great. And there any other reasons? Feel free to shout it out. Raise your hand. Yes? Yeah? This is right.
I saw your name.
Great. Thank you, Valhashem. Okay, wonderful. So when we're looking at station rotations, we're thinking about a lot of different things. I want to know how many of you have had any experience using station rotations so far. Anyone already kind of implementing it? Okay, great. Okay, good to know. And So this is going to be kind of a combination. You're going to some of it will be review for some of you, and it will be brand new for others. And part of what I want to make sure we do today is kind of re-energize anyone who started it, because when things get rough and we have emergency kind of feelings, we kind of revert back to what we know. And I want to, you know, re-engage you with this. Okay, so kind of setting the stage for everything. Have you ever seen your students look like this, or look like this, kind of disengaged, bored, yeah, or like this, off the wall? Two quick stories. We had a fifth grade boy who was receiving intervention services. He was also in some regular classrooms, and he was really disengaged, really down. He wasn't doing very well, and he did not feel successful. He was in a low place. He wasn't making progress academically as well. And so we wanted to look at what could we do to help him. So in the intervention class, we started to implement stations specifically for reading. And this student started to make real gains. He was able to choose out of a forced choice, so like we gave him options, and he was able to choose what type of reading he would be interested in. So there was an interest in the topic. There was, obviously it was at his reading level. And this student really started to make gains. He felt, we know the three components of intrinsic motivation, to build intrinsic motivation, is autonomy, choice, competency, feeling successful, and connection. And that could be connection to the person or to the activity that they're doing. And so he had all three of those in this situation. Different girl, the second grade girl, she was just in regular classes, second grade class, and she was starting to exhibit some very externalizing behaviors like tantrums and throwing herself on the floor. She also had some internalizing behaviors where she would just shut down, she wouldn't respond, crying, things like that. And this girl's teacher was part of our cohort of teachers who were doing this year-long PLC, professional learning community, about station rotations. And she started to implement them, you know, slowly, slowly, teaching all of the procedures and so on and so forth. And this student suddenly started to be engaged. She was able to complete the tasks. She was able to meet the expectations. Each station was at her level. So this teacher used homogeneous, same skill level grouping for her stations, and that really helped her be able to meet the expectations. Rather than being in this bigger class, she felt lost and she wasn't able to make it. So it provides an opportunity for differentiation automatically, and provides an opportunity also for movement, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. So how can we increase engagement, reduce the probability of challenging behaviors, and increase instructional time? We all want that in our classes and groups. Meet station rotation learning. And station rotation learning has been around for over a decade. It will give you the opportunity to really engage your students. It will give you the opportunity to give that individual attention. I'm going to know where my students are holding in their CREA skills, in their Comish skills, in their reading, their math. And even those students who learn a little differently, because it uses a variety of learning modalities. You're not just using auditory input or just visuals. You're using everything together. Kinesthetic, they have all these opportunities over time, once you have introduced the different stations, to really gain from the different types of modalities. And we're doing this all in the same time that you would do your regular classroom lessons. So it's not going to take away from your teaching time. In fact, we'll look at some data to show how it really increases teaching time. Okay, I didn't mess anything up. So by the end of today's presentation, I am hoping that you will have a better understanding of the structure and components of station rotations. You'll understand the benefits you're going to be introduced to some of the materials and tools that we'll use, and then you're going to experience these rotations. We're actually going to do stations today together. So hopefully that will be very exciting. We are going to get to watch some videos of stations in action today. I just want to give you kind of a heads up beforehand. I apologize that it's going by itself. There's like a timer on the things, and I can do it again, but I already took a lot of time, so I don't want to waste your time, so I'll just keep going back. So it is a series of stations or learning activities that the students rotate through. And you can see in this example, you have three stations here, but you could do more. You could do four, you could do five. And usually what it starts with is a mini lesson with a teacher and an independent workstation. And then you can add a creative collaborative, and you can add a technology station. Depending on the technology that you have in your school or don't have in your school, this is something that you can really use however you want. It could be something as simple as having an Alpha Smart where students are typing something so that there's no internet access, and it could be something all the way to like RAS Kids, Reading A to Z, iXL, just to reinforce skills. There's also Loan Day for Homish skills. You have all these different options. So, so one more thing that I want to say about this. So while the teacher is doing, like, let's say, a mini lesson in a specific subject, the students might be doing a creative collaborative activity and doing a independent work to reinforce that same lesson objective. And then they rotate. Now, the duration of each station or rotation really depends on the attention span of your students and their grade level. Okay, so benefits of station rotation. We're going to talk about the dopamine effect. We're going to talk about student engagement. And really what station rotation starts with is procedures and classroom management. You will see a change in classroom management for your classroom because there's such an emphasis on it. You're going to create a well-run machine. Like it is going to be a shift that runs itself. And then, of course, it's a natural platform for differentiated instruction. It really speaks to what it says initially, that when we meet each student where they are, al pied del cahier. So starting with the dopamine effect, we know, or how many of you have noticed a difference in your students in terms of their, like an increase in the students that maybe have a hard time sustaining attention to tasks or are a little bit more squirmy or just have shorter attention spans? Anybody noticed that over the years? Yeah, so right now, according to statistics, the U.S. has children 6 to 12. They have an attention span of about 12 to 36 minutes. I was actually impressed to hear that some kids can attend for 36 minutes. What do you think it is for adults? Take some guesses.
12 to 36 minutes.
What do you think?
12 to something.
12 to something. What are you
18.
Doing? 18? 10 to 12 minutes for adults. 10 to 12 minutes. We're probably on our phones more and whatever it is. So, yeah, we do have short attention spans. But what I want to emphasize here is this doesn't just help those students with shorter attention spans. Station rotations is shown to help and support every student. You're gonna help that high-level student get higher. You're going to help that middle student get higher. And you're going to help that lower student make improvements as well. So what happens with students with ADHD is that they're actually understimulated, which they're kind of lacking dopamine. And so what station rotations does, it provides that sensory input experience that students need to replenish their dopamine. So every student is getting that because they're moving around, because they're moving from activity to activity, they're going to get that regeneration of dopamine, and they're going to be ready to learn a little bit more. And we see it in the data. Okay. At least 30% of your students in the regular classroom will need visual supports in addition to auditory information. I'm going to say it one more time.
at least 30% of students in the regular classroom will need visual supports in addition to auditory information. So let's say something simple like, okay, we're on this parak and this pasuk. It's important to write it down on the board so that those 30% of students can reference that information. These are things that we know. So we're going to look at some of visuals that... visuals is a huge component of station rotations because of the fact that it helps support differentiation and helps support those students that need other. But it also is beneficial to everyone in the class. You're not hurting anyone. You're definitely enhancing and helping. So here is an example of a station rotation. Oh my gosh. Guess what? You have. If you want.
Yes, thank you so much.
It's funny, the things I forget. Okay.
Here, I'll put some of this away. You do have the slides here, and if you want, you're definitely going to have questions at the end. And I do have some freebies today. So if you have questions, I'm giving out freebies. So write your questions down somewhere so that we can... Okay, so here's, if you can see it on your slides, you have here a math one. This is from Mrs. Abrams at Airy Crown when she was teaching second grade. And you can see the students' names are here in groups. She used homogeneous groups. Similar grouping for this because it was math, and she wanted to make sure she's doing her lesson based on their math level. So she was able to really differentiate for each group. She has three rotations and then three actual stations. So she has math with teacher where they sit with her and they do a mini lesson. Workbook Nook was really their independent practice. And the hands-on math was like a creative collaborative type of thing. We're going to see a picture of that in a minute. Here's a low-tech version. I love this version. This was from Mrs. Biala's class, fourth grade, years ago. And what I love about it is part of stations is talking about those and teaching the protocols. And so what she did was this top part in blue is the actual station. So prefix color code, Chumash review, and Shavuos. And then this right here is their materials. This is what you're going to need to bring with you or have at each one of the stations. So it's really clear to the students. They can reference it before they move to the next station. And then this last one is, what do I do if I'm done before the timer? So let's say I finish early. What do I do? And so for each one, they know what they're going to do. So if that timer didn't ring yet and I'm done, I know I have to do Mila Ayom. So it's really, really clear to the students. And that's one of the, what do I do before the timer, if I'm done before the timer, is one of the protocols or procedures that we teach in station rotations. Here's another example of for Chumash. And this comes from Mrs. Schwartz's class. She has the student names again here. She has four rotations and four different types. So she has a Chumash review with games, the Chumash workbook pages, and I'll show you another picture right after this. These are all done on magnets, like it has a magnet on the back, so she can just like slap it on. And then this is also like laminated, so it's... Dry erase. So she can just, you know, take it off. And then if she wanted to do something new that day, skill sheet. Let's say I want to do something new and I want to do something different than what I planned. I can have laminated ones that I could just write on, or I could just, you know, have a card and then put it on. You know, it's really, really adaptable and really easy to do if you need to. So this is what her actual boxes look like. And you can see she has this magnet on the back so that she can just move things around easily. But you can also use a pocket chart. You're going to see an example from us, from our stations today, of one that's done digitally, and so you can do that too. I want to put a plug in that the Teacher Center has so many things. You're going to see a lot of things today from the Teacher Center, and you can go there also and get things that are already done.
Here's your question. This is all single teacher or teacher with a...
This is all single teacher.
Single teacher. Okay.
Yes, this is all single teacher. Thank you. That's a great question. We are going to see some pictures of like how you could use it with an aide, but it is not required because you practice those procedures and because you practice each... we'll get to it, but because we practice each part separately, they know what to do. Yeah.
The differentiation, I mean, all the stations are different for the different groups. So
that's a great question. It's a great question. It depends on the actual station. So let's say you're doing an independent practice. So maybe their Chumash worksheet is different because they're working on a different skill. Or maybe everybody has the same Shoreshim that they're working on, so everyone has the same sheet. So it really depends. And that's why I say, after today, if you are interested, I'm going to give you resources of who to reach out to in order to get coaching if you would like. Because I don't know if it's possible, with everything that's asked of us as teachers, to do this on our own. So you will have the opportunity to get support if you are interested in moving forward with this. Okay? This is just an example of a timer that you could use. These are all available on the smart board, and you can also input like transition time into it and things. So that's available. We also have something like more low tech, like a time timer like this, and if, as it goes down, it, you know, the red goes away, and you have the option of it dinging or not dinging. There's also online timers.
I have a follow-up for that differentiation. Is it like meaningful for the teacher to rotate the materials during the rotation, or is it primarily supposed to be pretty hands off, where like you could have like different colored folders and they know like take from the folder?
Yeah.
Like, is it too distracting to be transitioning the materials?
That's a great question. Generally speaking, we want them to be as independent as possible because you want to be doing your station. You want to be doing your station where you're teaching. You don't want them to have to need you during that transition. They transition, they know where to get. So actually, this next picture is a perfect example of that. So let's say you have kids doing different keywords. Let's say I have a student, most of the students in the class are doing, you know, 20 keywords a week. I don't know, I'm just saying a word, a number. And I have another student who's doing 10 or 4. So in their keywords, she has like these key rings. A lot of the second grade classes here do that. They just go up to the area. This is just material management. And they grab their key ring and they go to their desk or their designated area for that specific station. So that's a really easy way that it can be differentiated because nobody needs to know and nobody knows how many are in that student's key ring. They just go and grab it, or let's say they have a box, something like that. This is an example of an independent worksheet. So you see it, say it, write it, translate it, draw it. And again, like maybe some keywords are done, maybe the student has to do the first three, and another student has to do all six. So it just really depends on how you want to do it. This is another example of material organization. And this is another example of material organization where the student is, where the students just know where to get the materials for that station. Okay, so we're going to go more into differentiated learning and teaching procedures. But first, I want to show you this in action. So let me see if this wants to work. And you're going to see a classroom that's getting ready to move their desks. Now the teacher, it's a first grade boys class, and the teacher has, of course, taught this and modeled it, and now they're practicing it.
So it's just a light. It's very hard to see.
Okay. Oh, thank you for me.
Just wait until I finish my directions until you start doing it. There's nothing to see yet, Poppy. And then also, don't talk when no one's talking. Okay? That's the most important thing. Okay, so what I'd like for all of you to do right now is very, very quietly move yourself into stations.
Painless enough. So the idea there is, that you saw students who, by the way, these boys are now in middle school. They were one of the hardest classes. I just want you to know, they were one of the hardest classes she had ever had. Mrs. Rosen's a very experienced teacher, and they, you know, was pretty. Did it feel chaotic? No. So she's taught that, they practiced it, they modeled it, she gave them feedback.
Okay. How long did it take for them to practice until, was it like one day we're just going to practice moving and that's it? Was it we're going to practice break the step-ups?
Great question. We're going to go into like the steps, and I think it's like the third step or something that we teach how to move the desks. Really depends on the class, and one of the things that we'll emphasize is the idea that you don't want to move to the next step without mastery of the one before. So sometimes it could take you, you know, they get it after a day or two of practicing, and then you might just need to reinforce it, but it really depends on the class. And of course, the most important thing is the idea of reinforcing it. Okay, so let's see if we can watch this. I have to just, we're just going to watch a few seconds of it. It's not the whole thing. So we're going to skip Rabbi Haynes, even though I would love to see it, but just for time's sake, we're going to skip it. And we're going to be watching Rabbi Katz's pre-1A class. This was the most just showing you a few pictures of stations. So this is, again, that first grade class. And in this particular situation, she is reviewing on the board for the schedule. So she's referencing the schedule, having the students reference it. And then you have three stations here. You have an independent, a creative collaborative. You have an independent station. However, the assistant is there today, so she's supporting. And then you have the Kriya station with the teacher back there. And then in this picture, this is a second grade girls' room. Wanted to emphasize here the creative collaborative. These are like spinners, and the students... I can't just laugh. The students are creating math sentences with the numbers that they're spinning. So, and if you could do this on a whiteboard, but if the teacher wanted to have something to look at later and see how they did, then you could do it on a paper and then they turn that in. So it's really up to you. You could change it depending on the day. So you have your creative collaborative here. You have the assistant there that day. She didn't always have an assistant. This was a class of 28, I believe. And for independent work, and then the teacher station was here doing the mini lesson. Okay, and then this is an example of one where you have like a guided reading and then a technology station as one of the stations.
So that was only two stations.
They were only showing two stations, but she had another third. Yes, thank you for bringing that up. Okay, how do I get back to you? Okay. All right. So we are going to let the data speak for itself for a second. Everything that was taken was from our schools. I could give you like national statistics, but I thought it would be more closer to home to bring you the data around our schools themselves. And so according to engagement data, we had 82 to 96% of the students that were in the beach in a 30-minute observation period. Now, if you look at your best frontal teaching class, your best teacher who does frontal teaching, typically the engagement is 70 to 80%. And here we're having 82 to 96%. That's an average of 90% engagement. When you look at not the best teachers in terms of engagement, we're looking at 50 to 70% on average. And that's really low. So in terms of instructional time, a lot of people will say, I'm so concerned about the instructional time. It's going to affect my students, and what about moving the desks and moving from place to place and everything? Well, once you do this in the right way, you teach the procedures, you can see that we had no more than 100 seconds in a 30-minute observation period. So 27 out of 30 minutes was instructional time in these observations. You're really, because of the way that it's done, you're going to have the most instructional time and engagement. So if we take that data together, you can see about 27 out of 30 minutes instructional time with 90% engagement. 90% instructional time with 90% engagement. That's great. Okay. So we're going to go back to differentiating.
Yes.
They're moving, exactly. So just like we were saying before with that dopamine effect, they're moving around. So even if they don't have to push desks, so based on you're already in pods, you might not have to move your desks. But just the fact that they're getting up, they're moving to the next station, they have to reference something, look, and then move to the next station and have what they need, it's already, and the change in activity as well, those are all helping increase engagement. Okay, so we're going to see this in more detail when we get to stations. One of the stations you're going to do is with me, like a blended learning lesson plan with the teacher. And so we're going to go into more detail on this. Let's see if there's anything else. But one thing I want to just have you think about ahead of time is how will you group students depending on your subject area. So homogeneous can help with differentiation if you're trying to teach students at a specific level. And then maybe if you're, or like math, concepts, Rashi, reading, translating, that type of thing, maybe homogeneous might be better. But heterogeneous, where there are different levels, can oftentimes be great if you're doing like science, social studies, something where you want everybody's different strengths to shine. Okay. We're also going to take a look at this. This is just looking at it from a weekly view. So you could see you have mini lesson, guided reading, independent practice one, independent practice two. It could include a technology and a creative collaborative. And so the teacher just put out, this is what I'm going to do each day, this is what I'm going to hit, so you can see how you're hitting each part of your lesson. Okay. So getting started, you've already done this. It's February, And the first two procedures are teacher signal for attention or quiet. So let's say everybody's busy doing something. You might, you know, do kind of like a hands on the head, I don't know, something that rhymes. Or depending on the age level of the students. And you've probably, they probably already know how to ask a question or ask for the bathroom. So these are two of the main procedures that we do right at the beginning, which most everybody probably has done already. Now, something I want to emphasize again, we're going to look at this in more detail in the stations, but we don't move on to the next step until the step before that is mastered. It is so important. It is so important. If you go tomorrow and you try to implement three stations tomorrow, I'm going to tell you right now, don't come to me and say, it didn't work. Of course it didn't work. you want to make sure to really do this systematically and go through each step in a systematic manner. Okay. So we are going to practice the interactive modeling. I do have, and there are many videos online of interactive modeling. It's a seven-step procedure and teaching procedures, and we're going to go through it. Some of the videos include people that have like a short sleeve or like shorts on and stuff. So I never know, you know, and I just wanted to give you the option to Google interactive modeling response. The responsive classroom that comes from the responsive classroom, and that you will find tons and tons of great examples of those videos. Okay, so you're basically describing the behavior you want to model. We're going to use an example here of how to transition to davening. So you're going to kind of explain why this is important. I've noticed that feels a little rushed, and so you explain, and Maura will start singing Enayim Basidul, and you'll get your sitter out and open and out on your desk and open to Modani. I'm going to show you what I want you to do, then you'll tell me what you noticed that I did. So the next step is you ask them what you model it, you ask them what they noticed. And then if they didn't notice certain things, then you can ask specific questions to get them to notice certain things. Like, how did I walk to that spot? You know, did I go quietly or did I go with a loud voice? Things like that. Then you have somebody volunteer. Then you have them, number five is ask what they noticed once the volunteer goes. And then six, you have the class practice it. You could do it in two groups. You could do it however you want. And then you give them feedback. That's seven. So we're going to practice this because really soon we're going to get into stations. And when we practice it, I want you to, I'll just put up my finger so you see which part of the procedure we're on. Okay? So we've talked about these are the first two that you would introduce. Then how to move desks. We're going to actually do this last one, how to move to another station, because that's the most relevant for us today. Okay, so I'm going to switch over into teacher mode, and we're going to practice this. I just make sure that I'm saying everything I wanted to say. Okay, so this is also a handout that I have for you. There's two handouts. There's one with the steps, and then there's one with the procedures. Okay. All right, so going into teacher mode, we are going to practice and learn how we're going to move from one station to the next today. It's really important that we do this in a specific way because we're going to be doing it often. And so we want to make sure that we're doing it in a way that is helpful for everyone. Okay, so watch what I do, and then I'm going to ask you what you notice. Okay? Thanks.
we can have a good rest of the time.
Three sheets? Do you have three sheets or two sheets?
You have two sheets. Thank you for asking. Okay, what did you notice I did? I walked quietly to my chair and sat down.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. Anything else?
Two fingers up.
Good. Okay, now I'm on number three. I'm asking you what you noticed. What else?
You sat straight.
I sat down straight. What did you notice that I did before I moved? Did you notice anything I did before I moved?
I looked at the board.
Good. I looked at the board. Thank you. Very, very good. Okay? So, I looked at the board.
Oh my gosh. This is like insanity.
I looked at the board. And I'm just going to put it on this slide for right now. So we're going to keep it there. I looked at the board. And I went quietly to my desk. So, does anyone want to model it for us? I'm not going to make anyone do that. We're going to try it as a group, okay? And I want, let's start with this side of the this side of the class is going to start. You're going to reference the board, and then you're going to move quietly to your first station. Now, normally you would have the first station up there, right? So you would know where you were going. So you could just kind of pretend to practice, okay? And then I'm going to give you feedback. So now we're on number five. Okay, this side of the room, go ahead and let's practice. And let's see what we notice. Okay, good. What did you guys notice that they did?
They were quiet.
They were quiet. Very good. What else?
They looked at the board.
Excellent. They looked at the board first. What else?
They pretended to move to their station.
Good. Excellent. Okay. So we get the idea of how interactive modeling looks like, sounds like, and of course you have that handout, and you can also look at some more. So now let's do our thing in terms of. In terms of actual stations. So you'll notice that we have three stations. Okay, we have a blended learning station lesson plan with teacher. That's going to be with me. We have a collaborative center, and this center is going to be... This center is going to be one where you are going to get to work with a partner in order to differentiate your lesson. There's a handout, it kind of walks you through like a worksheet, and you just fill it out together. If you don't want to do it together, that's okay too. But if you wanted to work with someone who teaches a similar subject as you, you could do that. Okay? And then the last one, activity exploration, it's literally just a bin. I'll show you right here. There's a bin of different activities, and you can just, it's basically like a take what you like, take what you need kind of thing, and just explore what there is there, and then maybe write down some ideas of how you might want to use it. Okay?
Want them back?
Huh? No, I don't want anything back. These are all for you to take. So now, let's establish. Normally, it's okay, I'm just going to put these here. We're going to establish where these are going to go. So, the creative collaborative... The creative collaborative is going to be
over here. Where am I? fun little...
Hold on, I do have signs.
Question.
Yes, please, go ahead.
You're only doing the teaching, the mini lesson, the first group. The other group that's doing work from yesterday?
Yes, that's a great question. So one of the... Actually, let's get started, and then at the end, I will answer that question, okay? So my husband said, people need colors as well. You can't just... use. So we're going to do the... Activity exploration, that's the one where you just get to choose what you want to choose. You don't have to do much other than that. That one is going to be over here. And normally what would happen is you would have these established. You don't need to do it like this where it's, you know, like... on the table. You could have it hanging from the ceiling, whatever it is that you like. And then lesson plan with teacher is going to be back here in this area right here. So I'm going to just put these here to just show you where you're supposed to be. And then the collaborative center is going to be over here. Due to time, we're going to make our stations pretty quick. We'll do about 3 minutes per station rather than five. And we'll use the time timer. I'll let you know when. Okay? So now let's establish our groups. I was thinking originally that we would do... if you teach Kodesh subjects, would be one group. If you teach English studies, that's another group. And if you're a Rebbe, then it would be another group. But we only have one male today, so. Or if you do special ed, whatever you want to do, it's fine with me. What I think is most important, actually, is that you have somebody that you can partner with during that creative collaborative. So what I would suggest is just let's do AABCC, partner with someone, and go to one of the stations based on that. Okay, so let's start. Let's make this. We'll just do group one, group two, group three. You can go group one, let's say Kodesh, group two. Let's do it like this. Group one will be Kodesh, group two will be general studies. Will be preschool and special ed, maybe. And really, if you don't follow that, I don't mind. We just want to make sure you have the opportunity to experience it today. Okay? So let's get started. We're going to do rotation one. So we said that activity exploration is the red one. That doesn't want to work. Okay. Creative collaborative is green and blended learning is blue. Okay. So we're going to do, I think, I'm really supposed to end at 11:30.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be 30 minutes and I did practice multiple times. Let's just do a couple minutes for each station and I just want you to be able to experience them. And then we'll come back, and if anyone has questions, you can ask. At the end of your slides, it does give you the information of how to get more support, so please reach out if you want. Okay, is everybody ready?
Yes.
Everybody know where they're going?
Yep.
Okay. Ready? Let's switch.
I'm sorry to go, but I have to zoom in.
Thank you so much.
I noticed when you had it on just the regular, if you uncheck a few things, it will probably stop going. Because it has it on automatic.
I know. I don't know why I said that. 2 years ago, you didn't. Don't worry, I know exactly the feeling. Like, it happens.
And don't worry about it. Wow, that is like a really big deal.
Because there's been snow and
I know, I just know. Now that it's so cold, everything is burning up. Yesterday, when it was never so much harder.
You will have three different sessions.
Oh, okay.
Yes, it is.
just adding to my answer.
No,
slides for next steps. If you want more information, please go ahead and reach out to myself if you're an intervention teacher, or Rabbi Mueller if you're a regular classroom teacher. And I do have everything that's here today is here to give away. If you'd like to do Shoreshim as a creative collaborative, you can take these, you put the Shoresh on here, and then kids will build words. I have two. You can take whatever you want.
They're all $1 They're really cheap, the Dollar Tree.
And if anyone wants one of these, you're welcome to take with the clips.
Which one is
whatever
this?
You want. This is just a...
oh, one of those?
Yeah, it's one of these. It's just gray. You're welcome to take this. And if anybody wants the clips, anything like that, please take.
Where do you get the clock?
The clock we ordered online, it's around 20. And they also have smaller ones.
It's magnetic.
Yeah, this is
okay.
Mine is magnetic.
Okay.
The one in my classroom is magnetic.
Yeah, I'll take that.
What?
Thank you, everyone. We're the last group. If you want me to come explain anything, I'm coming right now.
Quick question for